Great to gather together with you here this morning at Jericho Road. Count it a privilege to worship with you, study God's Word together, all with the goal of helping us just experience all God would have for us as He works in us and then through us. So welcome, welcome to all. It's not often that I step aside from the pulpit, but when Dr. Juventine is in town, I consider it a privilege to share the pulpit with him. This morning, Dr. Juventine, as well as his wife, Dr. Elizabeth Emeku, both of them are here this morning from the Calvary Chapel in Soroti, which is in Uganda. They came further to church this morning than you did. No, they've been in town and country for a couple of weeks, and they're wrapping it up tomorrow. Going to head back tomorrow, he tells me, but we are blessed to have him come share. In a moment, he's going to show a little video or a little, some slides, some pictures about the work there, and then he's going to share God's Word with us. Can I just add this? Ever since I've met the doctor, I've known he's the real deal. The minister there is the real deal. And I'd encourage you to prayerfully consider supporting them. If you give here, you already do, because they are on one of our missions that we help support. But as was mentioned, Amy mentioned, there's the Promised Child opportunities as well as just maybe helping them. Certainly you can get on if you're not on it, get on their email list. You can find out what's going on over there, be in prayer for them, all kinds of good things. And they have a good work going on, and it's been even great to see. They used to be at Midigo, and now they're over there, after God blessed so wonderfully there, and now they've moved on to Soroti, and you'll see, they've come a long way even now. He's so humble about it, but the medical work they're doing, the teaching, the training up of people, awesome stuff, in a rough environment. So hopefully keep them in prayer. Well, I guess enough for me. We're going to leave some time for the doctor to share. So, if you welcome, a warm welcome to Dr. Juventine. That'd be great.
Good morning. I teach for 1 hour. So I'm careful about time. Good to see all of you again. It's like coming back home. We've been loved by you over many, many, many years. We felt the warmth of your love and fellowship. And if you've been away for a long time and you come home, you bring a report of what you have been doing, and I just have a little report of what God is doing in Soroti. And we've been in Soroti for 5 years. We spent 13 years in Midigo, 95% Muslim. The work took, and these days when I go there, the church is huge, and people are worshiping Jesus. And we planted 4 churches in that region. Now there are about 6 other churches in the Sudanese refugee camps. And so the work is growing. And then 5 years ago, we moved. You know, when we felt we're comfortable, the Lord moved us to Soroti. And so I just want to show you a little clip of what is going on in Soroti. Thank you. And so, right now, God is putting our heart to plant a Bible teaching church, one village at a time, and that's what we are following. And so, last year, we started the School of Ministry with 10 students, and we are getting ready to send 3 of them deep in the villages to begin some work there. We realize that the prosperity preachers only stay in the towns. They don't thrive in the village, and so the villages are unreached, and so we want to take the gospel there and teach God's word in those villages. So be praying for us as we send those 3 students to start Bible studies. We have 16 plus 1 this year that are being trained through the Bible and a lot of other things that we teach them and prepare them for ministry. And I said plus one because in Midigo, where we were, which is 95% Muslim, many Muslims are turning to the Lord. And so this plus one is an old man of 62 years. He's known Islam for the rest of his life. He was one of the leading clerics in the district, trained in Saudi Arabia for 7 years, very thorough with Islam. And Jesus appeared to him, and he turned his heart to Jesus. But they are hunting for him. They are looking for him. He survived two assassination attempts. But he's in Soroti, and we are hiding him somewhere. He's not in the church, in the school, but he's being discipled. But there are many more in Midigo that are coming to the Lord, and I think the six of them will be baptized next month publicly. And so keep praying for us. They came to Soroti looking for the same man and looking for me and saying, where is this man? But be praying. God is doing a great work there. And if the Lord leads you to come, you're welcome. Come and teach the Bible. Come and do medical practice. Come and teach the children. We have so many children in church, over 200 children in our Sunday school. We have 6.8 children per woman in Uganda. So fertility rate is very high. Here it's very low, so you have children there to minister to. And if you need a little more information, we have a little table there, the little crafts which you can take home. And remember us and be praying for us because we really want to see Jesus worshipped. People turning to the Lord. And if we can go to every village, God willing, who knows? So let's go to God's Word. That's what I love most. And if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. And I'll read a few verses there, and then we can pray and just see what God is speaking to us this morning through his word. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit the things to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangles in warfare, entangles himself in affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. A hard-working farmer must be the first to partake of the crop. Verse 7, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Father, we come to you this morning, lifting up our hearts, lifting up our emptiness, our vanity, and yet being in your presence, we ask that you minister to us, that Lord, you might encourage us, you might strengthen us, that we might continue to walk faithfully with you, faithfully to do the things that you've called us to do as a church, as individuals, as families, faithful to accomplish the task and to run the race and to do a good fight, because eternity is before us. So we ask your blessing now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I speak a couple of languages, and sometimes when I teach, I use all of them. So So I'm definitely worried that you know one language, maybe two at most. And so if I say something that you don't understand, just know it is one of those languages that has been pulled in. And so as we look at this passage this morning, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible because of the exhortations that Paul gives to Timothy. We know that Paul is writing 2 Timothy. He's in a dungeon. He's in prison, very cold and wet. And Paul knows that his days are numbered. Time is short. And after he writes this letter, we know that Paul would be beheaded. And so Paul, knowing that, he takes time to write this powerful epistle to the one that he had been discipling, and this young disciple of his named Timothy. And he begins chapter 2 by saying, therefore. And that means that there's something else that he has said before that is connecting and saying to Timothy, because of these things that I have said, you therefore. And let me remind you at least four main things that Paul had already told Timothy in chapter 1. Paul had reminded Timothy to stir up the gifts that were in him by the laying of his hands. As we all know that when you come to Christ and receive the free gift of salvation, God imparts upon us his Holy Spirit. He gives it to us as a mark of our inheritance that we are children of God. But as we continue to serve the Lord, he fills us with his Holy Spirit and he gives us divine enablement called spiritual gifts. And so Timothy was endowed with the spiritual gifts, but here is Paul telling Timothy to spur up, to stir up these gifts like an African woman cooking with firewood. I know you don't use firewood for cooking, but we use firewood in the villages, and sometimes the fire burns down, and so what the women do is to shake the ash off the firewood, and then it's lit up and it burns again. And I know that in our walk with the Lord, there are times when we are so passionate about the things of the Lord, and then suddenly it cools down, and like we have become very complacent in doing our spiritual obligations, and then, you know, we are not as active as it should be, and the encouragement is shake the ash off. Secondly, Paul exhorts Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, and I know that we are living in very difficult days where people are beginning to shy about speaking the truth. The truth is under attack, but here, despite the situation that was going on in Ephesus, Paul tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel or the testimony of our Lord and me, his prisoner. Thirdly, he exhorts Timothy to share in the suffering that comes from being faithful to Christ. Again, we know that as Paul is writing to Timothy, he's going to tell him that all those who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. We will be persecuted. We will be called names. We'll be insulted. We'll be attacked if that is possible. But Paul tells Timothy, yes, despite that, share in the suffering that comes from being faithful to Christ. And lastly, he exhorts Timothy to hold fast to the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me, the sound words of the gospel, which is found in believing in the death and resurrection of Jesus. There are so many people who are deviating from the Holy Scriptures and teaching man-made theories and philosophies of men. But for us who have been given this inheritance in the Word of God, this heritage we have, we believe that the teaching of God's Word is the only thing that can change the life of people. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy and exhorting him, Timothy, hey, my life is coming to an end. I'm going to be martyred very soon, but you hold on to these things. Hold on to the pattern of good doctrine. Hold on to good teaching. Hold on to the scriptures as they are. And then finally, Because there were also those who were departing the faith because of the persecution. In the Roman Empire, by this time, there were trying times. People were departing from the faith. There were those believers who were crucified. There were those who were beaten. There were those who were in jail. And there were those who were being thrown into the den of lions. And so this was a very difficult time as Paul is writing this letter. And as we know, as we go to the end times, being a Christian is likely going to be difficult. Paul is saying, hold on to the pattern of sound words. Hold on to the pattern that has been given to us. Then he says, you. I don't know for you, when I read this, I hear the voice of God saying, you, Juventine, you. This is not plural. This is singular. He's addressing this letter to a man called Timothy. He says, you, isolating you from the crowd, you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. My son, Paul calls Timothy, the affection of the relationship that he's had with this young man over the years. Paul has been teaching and preaching the gospel for nearly over 30 years, and Timothy has been part of that. He's gone to mission trips with Timothy. He had sent Timothy with the letters to take to the churches. Now Timothy is in Ephesus, being a young pastor there, and Paul knew Timothy. Paul knew what it is to be a believer, to be an apostle, to be a preacher of God's word. And Paul knew that it's only by grace that we can stand. The grace of God that he has given us. The grace of God which we didn't deserve, we don't earn, and we will never merit any favor from God apart from receiving it freely. As I look at the word grace, I also see three areas that grace addresses. Number one, being strong in the grace of God also means to be strong in the teaching of the word, that men and women might be saved on the basis of his grace and not works. Being strong in the grace of God also refers to complete reliance on the Holy Spirit to stay faithful to the end and to what God has called us to do. Everything because of our imperfection, God deals with us on the basis of grace. Every one of us in our service to the Lord, we fall short of perfection. Some of us fall more frequently. Did you gossip yesterday? Did you lie? Were you bitter? Did you lust? And the answer is yes, yes, yes. But we are all here this morning. Why? Because of grace. Because of grace. That's why I don't boast about anything. All has been done because of his grace. He's not telling Timothy, be strong emotionally. Because he was not strong emotionally. He was weak. Apparently was crying when Paul was departing from him. He's not saying be strong physically because Timothy had running stomachs. He's not telling us to be strong in our own strength or be strong because we are emotionally charged or whatever, but he's telling us simply be strong in what I've offered, grace. And you can be able to stay and do ministry and serve God, serve your family, serve your children by grace. Secondly, Paul then tells Timothy, he charges him about passing the message down. The things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit this to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. This is our theme verse for the school of ministry, because that is the commitment God has given to us. The same things, these things that have been committed to us. God is looking for faithful men and women, not because they are strong or special, but because they are willing to to allow God to use them. Paul is telling Timothy the things, the very things you've heard from me. You know, in our school system, if you're writing a thesis, you know what they tell you? Be innovative and be original. It doesn't work in ministry. It's all been given to us. We take what has been given to us and we want to pass it on to other people. And I want to suggest to us, as we live this life, the remaining days of our life, how I pray that each of our homes might be open to a Bible study. Open it up for Jesus to use. Open it up. Use what you have inherited to disciple your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. If we don't do that, we get a generation that is going to be, will not care about Jesus. But we have been given the things to pass to the next generation. So open our homes. Call in the neighbors if they can. Share the truth with them. Share God's word, our workmates. And invite them to church. Do something for the kingdom. So for Timothy, Paul is saying these very things, don't change. You know, people are fond of changing the gospel and they don't want to teach God's word. They want to teach men's ideas. But I thank God that here in Calvary Chapel we teach God's word and rely on God's truth to change lives. Committed to faithful men, committed to the next generation. We have that responsibility, church, to commit the things to the next generation so that they are also able to teach other people. That's how we have the gospel in perpetuity, and that's why we came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, because somebody was faithful. Wouldn't you consider if somebody had not shared with you the gospel that you'd still be lost? But someone was faithful to come to you and say, Jesus loves you. Someone was faithful, he took the risk to speak to you, to share the gospel with you. And now you're here enjoying the grace of God, enjoying the blessings of God. And then Paul gives Timothy three powerful analogies. Timothy, how are you to live? How is the church of Jesus Christ to live? He gives him three. Verse 3 says, you therefore. Again, he says to Timothy, you. Put your name there if you wish. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy, be a soldier. You know, we have an army in our country. It's called Uganda People's Defense Forces. I don't know the U.S. military. I don't know the name. It takes their many divisions. When they go to hunt the enemies of our country, even they're boarding the trucks and boarding planes to go to Somalia, you realize that they leave the TVs and swimming costumes behind, even though they like them. Why? Because they realize they are in the battlefield. They cannot take something that will slow them down. That's one characteristic of being a soldier. Maybe some of you are better soldiers. I've never been a soldier. I learned to shoot a gun when I was in the U.S., going to the shooting range, ever to handle. Elizabeth was able to see a gun closely just the other night. We don't have guns in our country in the civilian population that much. But I understand what they do. They leave behind everything that would slow their progress. And I know in this life there are things in our lives that are going to slow your progress in the Lord. They leave them behind. They are focused because they know that they don't want to give the enemy any chance. Timothy, Paul is saying, be a good soldier. This morning, probably the Lord is telling us, be a good soldier. Don't be entangled in the affairs of this world. Don't live for now. It is so cheap to live for now. Live for eternity. 1998, I was a very young doctor just finishing school. I happened to go to Western Uganda, and I was doing work in this big hospital. But there was war going on. There were those who wanted to overthrow the government of Uganda, and they had occupied the top of the mountain, Mount Rwenzori. And they would come down and raid villages and kill people. And so they sent the military there to dislodge them, and it was very risky because they're on top of the mountain, and they would mow down anyone who wanted to climb up there, especially the military. And so I would receive truckloads of injured soldiers, some with no hands, some with bullet wounds all over the place, and probably work the whole night, the whole day, trying to save their lives. And in one of those times, I asked one of them, there was an amputation done, and I said, "You knew that these guys are up in the mountain and they have an advantage over you. Why would you risk your life climbing the mountain? And you know that they would mow you down." And he said, "Well, we do it primarily, number one, because the commander has said that we do it in respect, in honor of the words of the commanding officer. Secondly, we do it in respect to respect our fellow soldiers." And as you realize in the military, as we look at this analogy that Paul is giving us, being soldiers, soldiers, they fight together to win the battle. And you need to know that we are in spiritual warfare. Whether you want it or not, you're being attacked from every corner of your life. And the enemy would like to take you down. But God has given us weapons. God has put us together as a family. So the strength of an army is when they fight together. Injuries happen. And when one is injured, they go around that person and put them on a stretcher and carry them to safety. That's what they do. They don't beat injured soldiers. Being a pastor for a few years now, one of the greatest needs for counseling is conflict between a brother and a brother, a sister and a sister, a brother and a sister. And they are very busy injuring one another. They turn their guns to one another. It's a wrong battle. And you're not going to progress if you turn guns to each other. We need to be focused because the war is real, like good soldiers. Please, the one who has called us, Jesus. A good soldier will listen to the commanding officer. And Paul here says, you do not entangle in the affairs of this life. These are the affairs of this life that, okay, my ear, you get a slap on your ear. If you injure my eye, I injure yours. That's how the world behaves. But we're different. We do everything so that we please Jesus. And one of the things that we want to do as believers is that we live our lives to please God, because He's already done so much for us. So that's what soldiers do. They carry one another. They hold one another. They lift up one another if they're so injured. And now I pray that we can learn that humility of going to a brother and helping them. Should we know that they're hurting? Should we know they are slackening, they are drawing back, they are no longer running the race, we go back behind and take them by the hand and run with them. The second analogy that Paul gives Timothy is that if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Look at the athletics. The strength of an athlete is when they practice together. When they run together, there is motivation to run together. That's how you train. And so, but at the same time, you have to run according to the rules. The recent Olympic Games, the U.S. was top on the gold medal list. Uganda got, I think, one or two long distance running. We understand Americans can't run very, very long distances. but they are very good with short distances and throwing stones and spears and things like that and swimming. And that's what you grow up doing. But we grow up learning to run and walking everywhere that we can find. But you have to run according to the rules. They don't cross the lines. There is discipline that goes on with all these activities, being a soldier and being an athlete. And I like the way that Paul writes to the Corinthians. Let me just read 1 Corinthians chapter 9 regarding athletics. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate." That's a catch word, temperate. They are disciplined. They go into a diet. There are certain altitudes they run. They are practicing. They are strengthening their muscles for the race. And that applies to us as well. If you're not temperate in your walk with the Lord, if you're not doing the things that are going to build into you to make you a strong Christian, you're not going to finish well. And Paul says, "Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So I run thus not with uncertainty, as I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest I be disqualified after preaching to others." There is a discipline that goes on with athletics. And the third analogy that Paul gives Timothy, verses 6, a hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crop. So, Timothy, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be an athlete. And finally, be a farmer. Understand, you don't farm to live. In Africa, we do farm to survive. You live from the soil, from your garden, you plant food. A farmer will plant a seed, and then the seed would germinate. He prepares, you know, first he prepares the land, plants a seed, waters it, or if the rain comes, the plant will germinate, and then the weeds also germinate. The farmer is careful to remove the weeds. Are there weeds in your life or habits in your life that the Lord is pointing and saying, this one, remove them, lest they choke the crop that the Lord is planted in your life and there will be no fruit. So after they remove the weeds, they wait, they prune. In fact, the idea of this sentence is that you wait patiently to partake of the fruit. You know, I've seen a bunch of people, a bunch of fellowships and ministries that I thought were in the verge of seeing some great things happen, but they gave up prematurely. I see marriages that give up prematurely, and what happens? Divorce. Nobody wants to wait. You know, we live in a generation, you can have instant tea, instant coffee. When I've been coming to America, we brewed the coffee. Now, you don't have to wait for that machine. There's a little coffee and a little thing. You just put it there, and in a minute, you have a cup of coffee. It's getting better. And so we take that part of life, and we want to apply it in the spiritual things. No, it doesn't work that way. It takes time. Abraham was told after he had, we are told after he had waited patiently, he endured and obtained the promise. We want the promise. We want the blessing. But we don't want to endure patience. And it takes time to harvest. It takes time in marriage. It takes time if you want to produce an album, good music. It takes time for it to go to the top. I look at this in my life. When I went to Midigo, I taught one woman for 6 months. I sat and prepared a message for 6 hours, like a good pastor does. 6 hours, every day, every week, for six months. And there was one person I was ministering to. But the Lord was faithful. It takes time. It takes time at the job site. You cannot be the manager if you're just showing up for 2 weeks or you're showing up for 2 years. You have to give it time so that you can climb. Everything takes time. It takes time to build a house. The great need of many things that we find in our lives is to be patient. It's a virtue in life. Be patient with your husband. Be patient with your wife. You will have the fruit. Is the idea there? You will have it. Be patient with your children. Pray for them. Learn it. Timothy, be a good soldier. Please, your commander. Be a good athlete. Compete lawfully. Be a farmer. Be patient and you will see the fruit and you'll eat of it. And then he tells Timothy, consider what I say. That word considers the idea to meditate, to pause. Like we study the Bible, you read a passage, you pause. You pray about it. You make little notes. You allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart. Consider, because it will lead to understanding. Consider it. Like I'm told, a cow has 4 stomachs. You see, when a cow eats, it eats grass roughly and then goes to drink water and lies down on a tree. Shade of a tree and then regurgitates and chews it over and over to eat, to help the cow to digest the food. The rough grass is not good for a cow. It regurgitates and churns from stomach to stomach. And then that grass will be good for digestion and utilization. Finally, Paul says, remember that Jesus of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Timothy, be a good soldier, be an athlete, farmer, consider these things, take time, think through. But above all, remember Jesus. I think this is the most powerful exhortations that Paul is giving to Timothy and to us. Remember Jesus. Don't be consumed with this life. Don't be consumed by ministry. Don't be caught up in theology. And you forget Jesus. Because it is Jesus. He is risen. He is real. So if you are going to be a good soldier of the Lord and a good athlete competing for a prize from the Lord, or like a farmer, you're waiting on the Lord, but you have no fellowship with the risen Jesus, you have missed it. And sometimes when we talk to pastors, we say, don't serve the ministry, serve Jesus. And everywhere he has put us, he wants us to serve him, to remember Jesus. Otherwise, it's only academic, it's only a service. If it is not personal and real friendship with Jesus, the risen Christ, then we miss it. Then we will walk through this life with emptiness and struggle because Jesus calms the storms of life. The things we struggle with, we struggle to a point of despair because we've left out Jesus. I see it in my life every time I'm struggling over something, a thought in my mind, struggling with a fellow believer, then I begin to realize Jesus is not here. If he was, I would have peace. I would have forgiveness. I would have compassion. I would have kindness to my brother. I would be broken. I would walk in humility and go to my brother and say, oh, forgive me. I would not be walking in stubbornness. And so Paul says to Timothy this powerful exhortation, remember that Jesus, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things. I love that verse, and that's our last verse. Paul says, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. I endure all things for the sake of my fellow brothers and sisters. Don't take it lightly. Enduring all things to keep the bond of peace and fellowship takes humility. Takes the work of the Spirit of God in our lives to live as a family of God in this church and the brothers that are out there. Paul says, I suffer all things. He was beaten, ridiculed, abused. He says, I suffer all things. That's where I find difficulty, because I want to stand up. I want to fight for my rights. Rights. I'm told these days if you want to open a door for a woman, they say, no. I can open the door myself. I thought that is courtesy and consideration. Rights. Remember Jesus. If he's in the picture, there's peace. If he's in the picture, you can fight as soldiers. And one of the most powerful things that we do, even for farmers, is that we can come work in your garden, 10 of us, and then we can go work on this one's garden. We do a lot of work when we work together. Soldiers fight together. There are injuries, yes, but they bandage the injured. They carry them. They take them by the hand. They lift them on their backs, even when they are heavy. Why? Because they are fighting a common enemy. They are soldiers. And I pray that the Lord will help us as believers. We are not here forever. We are here for a very short time. We have business to do. And this is the business of the Lord. And if there are any other issues among us, when Jesus is in the picture, humility happens. Forgiveness happens. There's consideration. And we need to do it together. Because remember what Paul says, I endure all things for the sake of my brothers and sisters, the elect. Why? Because he sees this life as a vapor. There's a better hope. There's better life. Eternity. And he says, I endure all things that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That is where we are going. Conflict here? There's no conflict there. Right? We look at ourselves in heaven, and you look at the brother you've been hating and stabbing on the back, you laugh at it. But remember, in that process, we can kill somebody and injure them, and they will no longer be following after the Lord. You know, when people have self-pity, I can't believe believers could do this to me. I don't want anything to do with the church anymore. Don't be part of that. Let's endure it. It's momentary. It's for a short time. And don't forget that we are family. Family and family. Father, we thank you this morning. We so thank you for that we can read the scriptures, that we can be encouraged, we can be spoken to by your Spirit. I pray, God, that you might press your word in us and create, Lord, just that humility in our hearts to consider one another, to know that your grace is sufficient. We can stand. We cannot fall because you are with us. And we can fight together like good soldiers. We can walk together like good athletes, training together, training to win the race, to win and not to lose. And to walk together like good farmers who walk in each other's garden and see the crop and rejoice in each other's harvest. We thank you. I praise you. Bless this, my brothers and sisters. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Agree with me in prayer, if you would. Father, it's a privilege. It's a privilege now just to lift up to you the work that you're doing there at Sirote. Father, we reflect upon how far you've brought Dr. Juventine and his wife, Dr. Elizabeth, and we thank you, Lord, for the gifts you've given them in medical knowledge, but even more so the heart you've given them for you, for your word, the heart you've given them for people and see people know you and for your touch, both physically and spiritually, upon lives. And so, Father, we thank you for this privilege of traveling with them, partnering with them, and Lord, we pray for them. Pray you'd give them wisdom and strength. Continue to anoint with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I think of the things they see and the decisions they face every day. I think of their interaction, not just with the patients, but with students and all, and just those they're called to minister to. Lord, well, you are their strength. You are their shield. We keep just praying, Lord, your will be done and through them. We think of their family. We think of them and the kids. Lord, bless and minister to them and the children and hold them very, very close, Lord. And, of course, for the whole ministry there, each aspect of it, Lord. We thank you for it. We don't take it for granted. And we pray you will continue to work in and through it, Lord. Like we looked at this morning, they'd all be to your glory. But all for the sake of the gospel, that your will be done. Lord, I guess we could continue to pray all day, but you know the needs. So just from our heart, we lift them to you now and pray for safe journeys back home. Pray for time to refreshing and just a mighty work. Lord, you are the true and living and almighty God. That ministry is yours. Have your way through it all, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Good word. The analogies that the Lord picks, he doesn't pick them at random, be it soldier, be it an athlete, be it a farmer. We're all in the battle. But he says, be a good soldier. Be a hardworking farmer, the text said. Not to earn a thing, thank God. Everything we do is a result of his love, not to earn it. We don't do these things to get forgiven because we are. But because we are, what a good reminder. We're called to it. And the doctor has laid before us some good ways to go about that. Good doing that this morning. But I'm also mindful that sometimes soldiers get wounded. Athletes pull a muscle. Need prayer this morning? Did you come in feeling kind of wounded? As we're going to spend some time worshiping the Lord, there'll be prayer partners back in the corner, my right, your left. Don't leave her. Wish you'd gotten some attention. Some care, some prayer. Go get prayer this morning. And for all of us, let's just take some time now and worship the Lord. Let's go for it.